Okay, Vani Tefillah, page 39. Zrizus Betefillah. Ah. Zrizus Betefillah. Yisa B'medrash Ruas. This is a very interesting piece. It really goes way beyond Tefillah, what we're about to learn, but we'll see how he connects it very deeply to davening. Yisa B'medrash Ruas, the Medrash says on Megillas Ruas. On the Pasuk, Yishalem Hashem Pa'alech, Usihi Maskurtech Shlema. Hashem should repay your efforts, and your payment should be in full. Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher bos lachsos tachas kanafav. When Rus is willing to make that unbelievable sacrifice and to stick it out with her very downtrodden mother-in-law, so it's a tefillah, it's a hope. She deserves to be paid back for her kindness. After all, she came and she joined, right? She came lachsos tachas kanafav. She came to join, to come tachas kanfei Ashchina. She came to join the Jewish people. Amr Rabbi Chassa says the Medrash, Asher bas lachsos tachas kanafav. He just quotes the pasuk. I didn't have a chance to actually look it up in the Medrash. I'm pretty sure the Medrash just quotes the first part of the pasuk. Right? Yishalem Hashem palech usihi maskortech shlema. You should be paid back fully for everything that you do. To which Rabbi Chassa says the end of the pasuk, Asher bas lachsos tachas kanafav. So the question that all the Mefarshim are curious about is, what on earth did Rabbi Chassa just add? All he did was finish the Pasuk. Or maybe repeat part of the Pasuk. So kvar tamu kol Mefarshim al kavanas ha-medrash, asher meivi hemshech ha-pasuk b'lishum tosefes. Usually a Medrash quotes a Pasuk and then offers a novel interpretation. There's no interpretation here. He literally just quotes the Pasuk. It's the same question they ask in Pirkei Avos on the Mishnah of Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan omer, bin foloi vecha al tismach. Right. So I guess he didn't sit, what's that website? Turnitin.com? Where they catch you plagiarizing? It's just a pasuk. He's just quoting a pasuk. It's not a Mishnah. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Mishnah Omer. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Stole a pasuk. Right. So same thing here. The Medrash quotes a pasuk. And Rabbi Chassa gives an interpretation of the pasuk by quoting the pasuk. He didn't say anything. Hinei inyan malchus beis David asher yatsa meirus ha-Moaviyah. Bin ishtalshel al yedei Moav hu inyan amuk mod. Certainly we all know that Mashiach comes from strange places. Mashiach comes from very unusual places. The whole Indian of Rus being the one, Rus who comes from Moab, and the Mashiach should come from such a strange place. The origin is that much stranger, as we'll get to in a moment. These are ancient matters, hidden matters. At the strange incident of Yehuda and Tamar, which is also so deeply connected to the world of Mashiach, the baskol rung out from the heavens and said, from me comes concealed matters. That a father-in-law should sleep with his daughter-in-law, she's disguised as a prostitute, such a strange, that this should be a place where Mashiach comes from. And in the earliest part of the story, where does Moav come from? It comes literally from incest, from an incestual relationship between Lot and his daughters. Shemehem Hischel lived nos binyan malchus beis David. So everyone's very curious, this is a much broader topic, why does Mashiach come from such a strange and broken place? It's good for Monday night. File it away. Hinei Amru Chazal, so perhaps Chazal explained as follows. Amr b'chia bar Abba, Amr b'yeshua ben Karcha. La'olam yakdim adam lidvar mitzvah. A person should always try to take advantage at the earliest opportunity of a dvar mitzvah. You know, before we even go further, I want to just mention one thing from the Pachad Yitzchak. Because we should learn this piece. It's really a Pesach. We've been lucked out. It's really a Pesach piece. Because the piece is all about the importance of Zrizus. And if there's one Yom Tov that emphasizes the importance of being Zariz, of doing things with alacrity and speed, it's of course the Yom Tov of Pesach. The first Pachad Yitzchak, and the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, says that Zrizus, we should understand that Zrizus is not just like extra credit in a mitzvah. It's an integral part of the mitzvah. We know the drasha of Chazal. Shmartem es ha-matzos, guard the matzah. What do Chazal say? Shmartem es ha-matzos, guard the mitzvos. What does it mean to guard the mitzvos? Well, there's a link. Mitzvos, matzos. Just like the matzos have to be baked with a sense of great diligence and purpose and speed, so too a mitzvah has to be done properly. So Rav Hutner writes, people sometimes think that a lack of zrizus in a mitzvah makes the mitzvah not as good. So I'll ask you, does a lack of zrizus with matzah make the matzah not as good, or it makes it chametz? It makes it chametz. So Rav Hutner says exactly. Rav Hutner says, when a person doesn't do a mitzvah, But again, with the sense of zrizus, not only does it not have, not only does it not register as being a, you know, a perfect mitzvah, it could undermine the entirety of the mitzvah. It shows a lack of appreciation for what you're trying to do. And that's what Chazal are hinting at with this Maimer Chazal. Shrei Hishru Chachavim Kiyo Mitzvah Bibli Zrizus. A mitzvah performed, again, without Zrizus, Rav Fundner says, is comparable to Le'isa Mechumetzes B'Pesach. It's like Chametz on Pesach. So we shouldn't think of Zrizus as just extra credit. Which is why, coming back now to Rav Wolfson, where Rav Wolfson is going to emphasize today the importance of Zrizus when it comes to Tefillah. Most basic level, getting to davening on time, which is sometimes a challenging thing for many people. Something we could all work on. So says Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchal, where it's underlined, La'olam yakdim adam ledvar mitzvah. A person should always be quick to be the first one to perform a mitzvah. Shebishvil laila achas shekad masa bechira letzira kad masa ar bedoros liyisrael. That when Lot's two daughters were going to each become impregnated by him on back-to-back nights, the older one, the one who went first, again, they were doing it l'shem shemayim, right? The Medrash was clear that they thought the world had been destroyed, just like the Mabul, and they wanted to rebuild the world. They felt the only man left was their father, so they decided to be intimate with their father as a way of keeping the world spinning, keeping the world populated. So the older one went first, and the younger one went second. They were a night apart. They slept with their father one night apart. So the older one, right, the older one, which would produce Malchus Beis David, would have a Sheichus to Malchus. They would both end up having a Sheichus to Malchus Beis David, as we'll see. But the older one would get there much more quickly. Four generations before the younger one, the older one got there. So the Medrash is, the Gemara is emphasizing, you should always be quick to do a mitzvah. Because what you did, you know, with a little more speed, the fact that she was with her father one night before her sister, turned into four generations of kings before her sister had a sheiches to Malchus. Shemei Abichira Yatzasa Rus HaMoavia. From the older one, from the first one, came Moav. V'hi Kadma Arba Doros L'Na'ama HaAmonis Sheyatzasa Me'atzira. And that was four generations before the younger one, the younger sister, would have a descendant whose name was Na'ama HaAmonis, right? Amon and Moav. And she would also have a sheiches to Malchus, as we'll see in a minute, but it was much later. Sheoved who ben Rus. Oved was the son of Rus. The Kadma Arba Doros Letzira, Shem Oved, Yishai, David, Vishlomo. So Oved, Yishai, David, and Shlomo, right, all had a connection to Klal Yisrael. The Me'atzira Yatza Na'ama HaAmonis, who was this Na'ama HaAmonis? He Aisa Imo Shal Rechavam ben Shlomo. So therefore, Rus already had a child, Oved, a Jew. Yishai, a Jew. David, a Jew. Shlomo, a Jew. It would only be later that Shlomo Melech would marry this woman, Na'ama HaAmonis, and they would produce a child, Rechavam, son of Shlomo. So you see that what was one night in the context of Lot and his daughters turned into four generations as it trickled through history. V'nei gabi b'chira k'siv v'tavoa b'chira. V'gabi yetzi'ira k'siv v'toka matzi'ira. It says about the older one, v'tavoa, she came. She presented herself. She acted with, again, a sense of alacrity. And she was quick to take advantage of it. As opposed to the second one, it says, V'tokam. She got up. Sounds a little heavier. Took her a little while to be motivated. And therefore, V'lashon V'tavo, where it's underlined, who inyan zrizus. V'tavo, to present oneself, is a lashon of zrizus. Not just to show up, but to come with a sense of alacrity, to come with a sense of great zrizus. And of course, both his sisters acted with holy intent. They were with their father because they thought the world had been destroyed. And they both intended to rebuild the world. That the world should have continuity. But since the older one acted again a little faster, and she acted to try to become pregnant with her father more quickly. Four generations, she already was creating a Rus for Moav. Again, Moav was the child that was born from the older sister, and Amon was the one, Ben Ami. Amon was the one from the younger sister. So you see what a difference it makes when a person acts with Zrizus. And again, the ripple effect through history. Al kopanim nira mikan shalashon v'tavo hu inyan zrizus. What do we learn from this Gemara in Bava Kamma? We learned that for Tavo, when the Torah emphasized that a person came, it doesn't just mean that they showed up. It means that they were the first ones to show up. They were the first one to get there. V'chein matzinu b'megilas rus. V'heima ba'u beis lechem b'tchilas k'tir sa'orim. Whenever you see that word, again, bo or ba'u, v'heima ba'u, they arrived, where? In beis lechem, at the beginning of the harvest season. Says the Medrash, sha'avru al shuras adin v'holchu b'yom tov pesach. They actually traveled, seemingly improperly, on the Yom Tov HaPesach itself. The Ktsir Orim, what is Ktsir Orim? The harvest of the Seora, the harvest of the barley. Hainu Ktsir HaOmer, HaNiktzar B'motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. When do we start counting Omer? When did they cut the carbon Omer? On the 16th of Nisan, on Motzei Yom Tov Pesach, right after the second night of Pesach. V'heima bo'u b'tchilas k'sir k'sorim. And the Pasuk says that they arrived at the beginning, almost prior to the harvest. Nimsa shaholchu b'yom tov, that they traveled on Yom Tov itself. U'mishum shiratu la'giya maher l'eretz Yisrael, nizdarzu v'holchu maher min haragil. And because of their great desire to get back to Eretz Yisrael, they were able to travel more quickly than is normally possible. Nimsa shagam tevas bo'u peirusho inyan zrizos. So we see, so far, several examples, right? We have the example of the two daughters of Lot, that it says, V'tavo ha-bechira, it means she came first. When it says that Rus traveled back, Ba'u beis lechem, it means that they came very early, surprisingly early. A lashon of Zerizus, they traveled quickly. So now we come to the night that Rus and Boaz are together. V'nei Boaz amar l'Rus, lini halayla, v'haya ha-boker im yoga'elcha tov yigal. Boaz says, spend the night, let's see how things go. Right? If Tov is the person's name, if Tov chooses to be the Redeemer, if Tov chooses to marry you, then great. And if not, then Boaz says, I'll marry you. What was Boaz saying? Bottom line, Mipneshu Karav Yoser Mimani, Tov is a closer when it comes to Yibum. I would give the opportunity first to the closer relatives. So Tov is a closer relative to you. Why? Because Elimelech, Tov, and Salmon, the father of Boaz, were brothers. So Tov was Boaz's uncle. And therefore, really, Tov should have had the first opportunity to marry Rus, if he so desired. Okay, turn the page. And Yibum is supposed to take place through the closest of kin. And if Tov doesn't want to marry you, so Boaz says, if he's not interested, then I'll act upon it. Says the Al Shach HaKadosh, Mazbir Al Shach HaKadosh, Lama Sivev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalo Yirtza Tov, Ligol, V'tiskayim HaYibom Al Yedei Boaz, Shu Bedor Mu'uchar Yosef. Al Shach HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. Why did Tov change his mind? Why did Tov not want to marry Rus? Why did Boaz choose to marry Rus? Why did Tov hesitate? And the way that Al Shach presents the question, why did Hashem make it that Boaz would be the one to marry Rus? Let the earlier generation marry Rus. So the Al-Shech explains it. It's a little paradoxical, but look how he explains it. It's very interesting. Eli'isa b'pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, on the pasuk ki yareach yikon olam, that the world is established like the moon. The world means Malchus beis David. The Malchus beis David nimshal liyareach, that Malchus beis David is compared to the moon. Just like the moon gets bigger and bigger during the first half of the month, getting larger and larger the first 14 days, the 15th day it reaches its fullness. Look at this amazing medrash. David HaMelech is the 14th generation from Avram Avinu, and David HaMelech's son Shlomo is the 15th generation. What's the gematria of David? Dalid Vav Dalid.
It's 14.
14. That was the 14th generation from Avram Avinu. And Shlomo is the 15th generation. Right? Unbelievable. So Malchus Beis David is compared to the moon. Yud Dalid Doros Me Avram Avinu Ad David HaMelech. Right? I think it's a typo here. It's supposed to say David HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech Hu Dor Tezvav La'Avram Avinu. Very interesting. Now Shlomo, his very name, Shlomo means what? Shlemos, when the moon is full. V'lechei Nikra Shlomo. Dehu haya siara b'ishlamusa. Siara means moon in Aramaic. But the moon reaches its full capacity. Va'achar kach holechas halavana umisma'etes ad yom chavtes. And then the moon begins, through that cycle of waxing and waning, the moon begins to, the light begins to shrink until the 29th of the month. V'hainu Tzidkiyahu, shehu dor chaf tes la'avram avinu. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, who unfortunately would be there for the Chorban, was the 29th generation from Avram Avinu. Shebiyam of Nechra Beis HaMikdash, v'nifsuka Malchusa. And in his generation, the Malchus was lost. That's the shrinking, that's the descent of the moon. And there never was a generation, say Chazal, as wholesome as the generation of Shlomo HaMelech. That's when the moon, Klal Yisrael, is compared to the moon. And the moon is at its max capacity, so to speak. That was the period of Shlomo HaMelech. When we talk about the Shlemus of that period, it was Shalim in every sense. A wonderful time to live. Shlemus of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, they had a temple, they had the Beis HaMikdash. B'Shefa, B'Sova, B'Osher, B'Menucha, there was no Melchama. Unlike David HaMelech, who had blood on his hands and couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo's time was a time of great prosperity for Klal Yisrael, Bruchnias, Ubegashmias. V'im haya tov ha-gaval shal rus. So listen to this. So the Al-Shech says, if Boaz's uncle chooses to what? Chooses to marry Rus. Right? So that's going to slow things down by a generation. We needed to almost speed things up, skip over that generation. Hashem says, I don't want... Part of the secret to this is that Boaz himself was enthusiastic. A person who's Zariz, right, even if for some reason someone else is seemingly in better position to get that opportunity, but the Zariz is able to get ahead of it. So even though Boaz is a later generation, in a certain sense it was an act of Zarizus to get to Boaz more quickly. Because it gets us to Mashiach more quickly, gets us to David Melech more quickly, gets us to Shlomo Melech more quickly. So therefore says the Al-Shech HaKadosh, Kein ha-yisrichim l'chakos o'udor l'binyah beis ha-mikdash. If you first have to have a tov, then it's going to set things off in terms of the calendar. Kadeshia bedor hatesvav la'av mavino, in order to get to that 15th generation. Well, the fisher rotza Kadosh Baruch Hu lezaris is binyan beis hamikdash, and because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to keep things moving, don't let Rus marry Tov, let Rus marry Boaz. Keep things moving ahead. Right? Lachein hichnis bedas Tov shelo yachpos ligol. Hashem, so to speak, put it into Tov's heart that he wouldn't want to marry Rus. Vigalena Boaz, and Boaz would be the one to redeem Rus and to marry her. Adkan, the words of the Al-Shech HaKadosh. So now, my friends, let's go back to the Medrash we started with. We started with the Medrash in Rus. I quoted the Pasuk. And then Rabbi Chassa just quoted the Pasuk. He didn't say a Perish. The Pasuk said, Rus should be rewarded for all of her efforts. And Rabbi Chassa just quoted the Pasuk. Yes, Asher Bos Lachsos, Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, Tachas Kanafav. What was Rabbi Chassa adding? He didn't add anything. Says Rav Wolfson, now we go back to what we began with. The Boaz Amar Larus, Yishalem Hashem Pa'alech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay you for your efforts. Amar Rabbi Chassa, Bizchus Ma Tizcha L'schar Me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Chassa is saying something. Rabbi Chassa says, what was so gevaldik about Rus? What's Rus's great merit? The Pasuk tells you, Asher Bas, that she came. And we've learned that what? V'tavo, V'hema Ba'u. Right, that expression means what? Srizus. Ah, so now you're saying something. Hainu kamo v'tavo ha-bechira, u'kamo heima bo'u, shemashmo srizus. Right, the reason that Rus should be so greatly rewarded is because look at what happens when a person is Zaris. It's rooted in the daughters of Lot, and it continues to Rus and a relationship with Boaz. In fact, the Chavetz Chaim used to point out an amazing thing. Boaz died, do you notice that Boaz died the day after he was intimate with Rus. Meaning Rus becomes pregnant, and then Boaz dies. So Chavetz Chaim says, you understand what that means? That means if Rus and Boaz hesitate, if they wait even one more night, where's Mashiach? What happens to Mashiach? Chavetz Chaim says, you see that when a person takes advantage of an opportunity and doesn't hesitate and doesn't wait, that creates the possibility of Mashiach. Boaz hesitates, he waits a night, Rus doesn't become pregnant, it throws off all of world history. Because Rus and Boaz had the desire to push ahead, so that becomes the great reward of Rus. And that's what the Pasuk is hinting to. Asher Bas, Hainu, V'tavo HaBechira, K'mo Heima Ba'u. We've learned today that Beis Aleph, that Shoresh, means what? A sense of speed. Shemashmo Zrizos. Shebizchus HaZrizos. Shenizdarza Lidabik V'Klal Yisrael. Because she acted quickly, she made a decision. I'm sticking it out with Naomi. I'm sticking it out with Boaz. She made those choices with great confidence. Yishalim Hashem Pa'alech. Hashem should repay your reward. Uma haschar. And look how the Pasuk even tells you what the reward is. What's the reward? The Pasuk says, Uzehi maskorteich shalema. The Medrash brings this, Joshua. The Medrash says, the Al-Kishmoni says, don't read it shalema, read it shalomo. Shlomo Melech, because you understood the power of Zrizus. Sheremez la sheyatz v'menu Shlomo, shebizchus ha-Zrizus have Shlomo Melech v'zmano, ketikno v'yibano b'samikdash v'zmano. And that's why you'd have such a beautiful generation, like the generation of Shlomo. If Rus hesitates, right? If Lot's daughter hesitates, it throws off world history. People sometimes think, okay, I'll get there when I get there, and I'll do the mitzvah. But we saw from Rav Putner. But again, it becomes chametz. The difference between Zrizus and not Zrizus is the difference between chametz and matzah. It's a massive difference. Let's finish the piece. Nimsa de Shlomo Melech hu pri hazrizus. And therefore we learned that one of the most glorious periods in Jewish history was the result of a person who had a sense of Zrizus. Ve'efshar de lahachi isa de kishishchatein Shlomo im basparo b'yom chanukas beis hamikdash. Here's the tragedy. Here's the flip side of the story. The flip side of the story is that we know that Shlomo Melech, and again, these things are very much beyond us, but Shlomo Melech married a non-Jewish woman. She converted, a little bit shady, whatever happened there. He marries Bas Paro, and he marries her in the context at the same time that the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash is taking place. V'echnisa lo kama klei zemer, v'neir kol alayla, it was a big celebration, it stayed up all night, and Shlomo slept a little bit late the next day. He didn't sleep in until 2 in the afternoon, but he didn't get to the Beis HaMikdash until the fourth hour. And that was supposed to be opening day of the Beis HaMikdash. He showed up late for the first day of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ayimavtechos Beis HaMikdash tachas miros Yosef. He was fast asleep, and the keys to the mikdash were under his head. Uva osav yom hikrivu tamid shel shachar b'dalet shos. Turn to the last pitch. And on that day, they offered the carbon tamid shel shachar in the fourth hour, which is totally fine. It's totally fine. It's not at all against the halacha. But it was a little late. And Chazal say, at that moment, the morning that Shlomo slept in, the same way that Klal Yisrael unfortunately showed up a little late to Kabbalah Satorah as well. And again, there's explanations of it. But it's on the surface, it's a very, how could you show up late for such an important experience? Chazal say, Deba'usa Shah, at the moment that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, Yared Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel descended from the heavens, V'na'atz Kona B'yam, he inserted a reed into the sea, into the ocean, V'hel Asirton, and the sand built up around it, V'alav Nivna Krach Gadol Shal Romi. And upon that formation of land would be the Krach Gadol Shal Romi. Would be Rome. V'heim she'echrivos Beis HaMikdash l'besof. And they would be the ones. Of course, the Romans would be the ones who would destroy the second Beis HaMikdash, leaving us where we are today. Right? So already the underpinnings of the ultimate Chorban, of Chorban Bayasheni, took place at the moment that Shlomo, whose whole life came to be because of Zrizus, showed a lack of Zrizus. So what we're learning today is Binyan Beis HaMikdash depends upon Jews being Zaris. And Chorban Beis HaMikdash is rooted in a Jew who doesn't have that sense of Zrizus. The cave and the binyan Beis HaMikdash bab is chus hazrizus, where it's underlined, since the binyan Beis HaMikdash came about through such unbelievable zrizus, lachen kishalo his darzu b'chanukas Beis HaMikdash, hayachisaron b'binyan Beis HaMikdash. So when Shlomo HaMelech didn't show that same sense of his zrizus, that same responsibility for his zrizus, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. U'mizeh hischel achorban, v'agam shekarban tamid kosher l'akar b'dalat shos. The carbon tamid wasn't brought illegally, erroneously, it was brought, it was a little later than maybe the best. But since they didn't get the Beis HaMikdash started at the earliest opportunity, therefore there was a loss, there was a lack in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And in case you're not convinced that Shlomo HaMelech learned his lesson, let's end by listening to the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei in the sixth parak, a very famous pasuk, Leich el nemala atzel, lazy person, go to the ant. Re'ei d'racheha v'chacham. Observe its ways and you'll become wise. Learn from the ant. The ant is the paradigm of what? Of a zaris. Hanemala, this little ant. Hanemala hazos asher eina chaya yosem yivav chadashim. Chazal say an ant hardly lives past 6 months. V'chol mezona b'chol yimei chaya eina yosem yichito mechsa. And over the course of its entire life, it eats maybe a kernel and a half of wheat. V'hi ogeres kol yimei akayitz. And the ant is so busy collecting food, collecting, working, busy, much more than it could possibly need for its entire lifetime. And in fact, the maisa is told, one time they found an ant hole, and inside of that ant hole was 300 kor, which is a massive amount of grain. What's the ant need? One little kernel for its whole life. This is enough for thousands of years for this ant. But the lesson of the ant is to be zaris. The ant says, maybe God will give me long life. I know everyone who made it past 6 months, but maybe I'll be blessed to have arichas yamim. Maybe Mashiach will come and I'll live forever. I don't know. The ant says, I got to be ready. Got to be zaris. So therefore we say, says Shlomo HaMelech, go, lazy man, learn from the ant. The lazy man should learn from the ant. Beis HaMikdash, the final paragraph, Humakom HaZrizus. The Beis HaMikdash is a place which is alive. There's a sense of Zrizus. You don't show up late to the Beis HaMikdash. K'di'isa Kohanim Zrizim Heim. About the Kohanim it's described, the Gemara Psachim, Kohanim are known to be what? To be very Zaris. V'churban Beis HaMikdash, as we just learned, was caused, the downfall of the Beis HaMikdash was caused, Bishum Shaiy Chisaron B'Zrizus, V'chinoch Beis HaMikdash. Because Shlomo HaMelech didn't get the Beis HaMikdash started with that Zrizus with which his life was created. Uvizman HaZeh, concludes with Wolfson. Very different piece than we've seen in the Sefer so far. Says Rav Wolfson, Uvizman HaZeh HaTfilahu B'makom HaAvodah Beis HaMikdash. Today, our davening is our Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if every day, like Chazal say, V'ayu HaDvar Me'ilah Asher Anochi Mitzavecha HaYom, that I should view every day as if the Torah is completely new to me. So every day is, so to speak, the first day of Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, the inauguration of our Beis HaMikdash. Whatever shul you go to, it should be, you should go to shul as if it's the first time you're ever going to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, don't make the mistake of Shlomo HaMelech. Let's try hard not to show up late. Tefilos keneged tmidim. Our davening is the karbanos. V'lachein tzarech kol echel lezariz atzma lagil letfilah bezman. So we should work hard to make sure we show up to tefillah in a proper time. Umi yodeya kishibana Beis HaMikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. Who knows? Maybe when the Beis HaMikdash is built speedily in our days, maybe we'll see that the Beis HaMikdash was built in the merit of Zrizus. Could be there'll be a plaque on the wall of the Beis HaMikdash that this is dedicated to the guy who showed up always first to shul. It's a chashuv thing. We should try, says Rav Wolfson, to be very, very careful. Make sure that we build our modern day Beis HaMikdash, our shuls, by getting to davening on time. And every single person here knows that there's a big difference when you get to davening on time and when you walk in even 2 minutes late. It's a different davening. You're there and your tefillin's on, you have a minute to prepare yourself versus trying to, you know, play catch up with the Shliach Tzibur. It's a totally different experience. So we should be zoch. Yeah.
The Remnant talk quote that Rebbe likes to...
Yeah?
The Zrizus isn't running to shul at 7:30.
That's Rebbe Migdor Miller. Rebbe Migdor Miller said that Zrizus is not, right, let's say the minyan starts at 7:30, so Zrizus is not running into the shul at 7:30, Zrizus is walking into the shul at 7:20. You know? It's a very good quote. Zrizus doesn't mean racing in at the last second. Zrizus means being in a ready state, being early and being ready. Who's the first Tana to speak in Shas? There's an opening statement in Maseches Brachos.
Who's
the first one? Who's the first person to speak in Shas? It's a chashuv thing, no? They probably got a lot of money for that. I auctioned it off, you know? Chai dollar for the opening statement of Shas. Yeah, $36. They probably auctioned it off. Who got it? Who was Zochet to have the opening words in Shas? First Mishnah Brachos.
Yeah.
Amosai Korin.
That's a Krishna.
Shema Ba'arvin.
Rabbi.
Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah? Rabbi Eliezer. Amos Ikorin Shema Ba'arvin. Yeah, what's the Mishnah saying? When's the time for the nighttime Shema?
Changing
the guards. Shosh O'Khanim Nechlasim Lechel Trumasim. Do you have right, Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer says that the first one to speak in Shas. So Rav Shem Klingberg in the Ohel Hashem says, he says an amazing word. He says, Rabbi Eliezer, we know if I'm elsewhere in Shas, said about himself, no one ever beat me to shul. I was always the first one in shul, and I was always the last one out of shul. So Rav Shem Klingberg writes, he says, B'schus, being the first one to shul, he got to be the first one in Shas. Gets to talk first. It's a chashuv thing. Okay, we should be Jews who show up to shul on time.